Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here. This is Yahweh's Covenant People, along with my co-host, Pastor Steve. And this is going to be Esau, Edom, Part 7, a discussion of Charles Wiseman's book. And Pastor Steve has a document up on his screen. I am still trying to get that up on my screen. So, Pastor Steve, why don't you pick it up where we left off?
I surely will, sir. How's my audio? I had cut my microphone back.
It sounds great.
Absolutely. All right, great. There we go. Because I noticed somebody said I was peeking last week. We're on page 53 of this document, and where we left off was Charlie was quoting the Jewish Encyclopedia, and it says, the Jewish religion as it is today traces its descent without a break through all the centuries from the Pharisees. Their leading ideas and methods found expression in a literature of enormous extent, of which a very great deal is still in existence. The Talmud, which means study, is the largest and most important single member of that literature, and that's from the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 8, 1942, page 474. Continuing on, the Talmud is actually the product of the Palestinian and Babylonian schools and is generally called the Babylonian Talmud. Pardon me for a second. Yeah, I got a bronchial problem, and it gets away from me periodically. The Pharisees were adherents of this Babylonian thought, and it was this thought and religion, quote unquote, which Christ was always at war against. Christ rebuked them because they reject the commandments of God so that you may keep your own, in brackets, Babylonian traditions. That's Mark chapter 7, verse 9. Judaism and Christianity are poles apart. The opposition between these two systems is as radical today as it was in the days of Christ. Well, we see that. That is very evident by the methodology that they use to attack us, the true Israelite people.
Yes.
But Judaism is not only derived from Babylonian thought, but also from Canaanite religious practices. Ooh, that's also in the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia.
Right.
Volume 6, that's 1942, page 235. So we see that because Esau had married women of the Canaanite race, specifically Hittite women, whose religious practices were abhorred by God,
That's
Leviticus 20, verse 23, Jacob, however, learned the ways of the Lord and his commandments. That's in the book of Jasher 29, verse 11. But Edom rejected God's ways and worshipped other gods. 2 Chronicles 25:14. They had the gods of Edom. Well, yes, they were little pagan gods. They were idol worshippers.
That's right. That's right. They still are today, but they pretend to worship Yahweh and they pretend to worship the God of the Bible. But
well, they
worship
pretense. the little green guy.
The green guy,
with faces on it.
Yeah, right. Petrol de la, petrol de la. Right. Yeah, the dollar sign is the Jew's God. Yeah, please continue.
Okay. The Jews, like their Edomite, Canaanite, Pharisaical, and Babylonian ancestors, also reject the commandments of God. This rejection and defiance of God is what Judaism is based upon.
That's correct.
as the Jew Bernard Lazar revealed, and I quote, "It is the Jews who originated biblical exegesis, in other words, a critical analysis of the Bible, just as they were the first to criticize the forms and doctrines of Christianity. Truly, has Darmstadter written, the Jew was the apostle of unbelief, and every revolt of mind originated with him."
Yes.
And
yes.
That is quoted from Bernard Lazar, Anti-Semitism, Its History and Causes, in London, Britain's Publishing Company, 1967, pages 149 through 151.
Well, being a Jew, he ought to know.
Well, we like to quote our sources here.
Yes.
To back us up. We're not just pulling stuff out of the air.
Yes.
Continuing on, since Jews have an inclination toward the Talmudic religion, which defies God, better known as tradition of the elders,
right,
an obvious conflict will exist between them and anyone who adheres to the laws or ways of God. Should be Yahweh, but
yes.
It's God in here.
Yeah, wise
men. Anyone who adheres to the laws or ways of Yahweh.
Yeah.
And do we have a conflict today, Brother Eli?
Oh, well, between the Talmud and the Bible, absolutely.
They're diametrically
opposed.
And between the Talmud users and the Bible believers?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Unfortunately, as we just recently discussed in Kentucky, the Judeo-Christian apostate churches, they are also opposed to Yahweh God, just as the Jews are. Most of them don't realize it, but they are, because they defy biblical teaching, they defy Yahweh's laws, and they are no longer modern Christianity, thanks to Jewish subversion of Christianity, no longer follows Yahshua Messiah, but follows the Talmud, even though they don't know. They've been tricked.
Yeah, the Jewish Jesus.
That's right, the Jewish Jesus, yes.
Yeah. Well, they've been taught that, and they have been taught that for a long time, and they have repeated what they have been taught in the seminary schools, which were infiltrated, over and over and over and over, for generations, so they are so inclined to reject any refutation of those falsehoods.
That's right.
They are etched in stone in their heart, and it is very, very difficult, even when confronted with facts, to convert out of Talmudic Christianity a person of our race to the true worship of Yahweh and Yahweh's laws, which were not done away with. They want to believe they're done away with, so they teach it. It
yes.
is pleasing to their ears. So continuing on, let's get this here. So repugnant was the Talmud to the white Christian people of Europe that on numerous occasions, kings and popes issued edicts to have the Talmud burned.
And Martin Luther published a book called The Jews and Their Lies, which he published after, because he was able to read Hebrew. After reading the Talmud, he was so disgusted with it, he published The Jews and Their Lies, exposing what the Talmud really teaches.
Well, I have read it also.
Okay.
And it is a satanic document. It is absolutely unalterably opposed to what we as true Christians believe. I read the Hebrew. They didn't think I could read it, and I got a copy.
Right.
There's volumes and volumes and volumes of it. Art Scroll Publishing puts it out.
Okay.
They're all over the place. And,
yes,
they're little cabals. All consult this, and
right.
they just do organized satanic things.
Yes.
Believe me, out in the community in secret.
Yes, but even more importantly,
are things going on that would horrify you, brothers and sisters.
Right, right.
Have all these little children gone?
Right. Yeah, kidnapped by Jews, right? But the Talmud defies Moses as well as the New Testament, and this is what Christians need to understand. The Talmud is diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of Moses. And once people understand that the Talmud is the antithesis of the Bible, the antithesis of the Torah, only then will Christians get an idea of how evil the Talmud really is.
Well, I read that laundry list last show of all the diametrically opposed teachings.
Yes.
I went through that whole list. So if you missed that, go to the archives and rack up that show, and you will be amazed.
Yes. All right, please continue, Pastor Steve.
Did you ever get that thing up?
Yeah, I'm following along.
Oh, okay, there we go. Like Esau and Jacob, the Jews and white Christian people have been struggling and in conflict with each other from their first encounter with another.
When the Pharisees encountered Yahshua, right? From that moment forward.
History, a look through history reveals the continual disputes, arguments, and disagreements between the Jews and Christians. One of the earliest instances is the dialogue of Justin Martyr with Tryphon the Jew.
Now, wait a minute, Pastor Steve. Aren't we Judeo-Christians? Isn't there a Judeo-Christian tradition? Well, aren't we brothers and supposed to get along? Isn't this what all Christians believe? That there is such a thing as Judeo-Christianity.
What fellowship has light with darkness?
There you go.
Okay.
Yes.
Such dialogues and disputations between Jews and Christians have generally centered around the same subjects, such as the virgin birth, the nature of the messianic prophecies and their fulfillment, and they're continuing to be fulfilled. All is not fulfilled yet,
It's
coming. The divinity of Yahshua, he has Jesus here, and various aspects of the law, in other words, the Torah, the teachings given through Moshe.
Amen.
From Yahweh.
Amen.
Contrasting opinions on such topics have been permanent traits of these two people.
And the Jews and Christians still take, the Judeo-Christians now more or less side with the Jews. But obviously the New Testament disputes the Jewish version of the Old Testament. And it bears reminding people that the early Christians, including Yahshua himself, were quoting the Septuagint, which was the translation from around 250 BC, made by Judahite scribes for Ptolemy Philadelphus, translating the Hebrew into the Greek. And that Greek Septuagint is what the apostles and Yahshua and Paul and all the composers of the New Testament quoted from. When they quoted the Old Testament, they quoted the Septuagint, not the Masoretic text, which is the Jewish version, which wasn't really completed until 1000 AD. So if anybody thinks that the Masoretic text is superior to the Septuagint, they have another guess coming.
Well, it leaves out certain things that the Septuagint has in it. I have Tanakh, which is an anachronism of the Torah, the
Jewish version,
prophets and the writings, and their English translation side by side from the Hebrew is not even close to saying what it says in the Hebrew, because most of the Jews don't read Hebrew. That's a rabbinical thing. and those that have gone to a yeshiva, and even then it is perverted, and
right.
they don't even speak Hebrew and Israeli. They speak that Yiddish nonsense. And if you speak to one of them in Hebrew, they not only don't understand exactly what you're saying, but they get madder in hell.
Right, if you correct them.
They know that you know.
Right.
And they can't stand anybody that truly knows.
But every Jewish translation is deliberately falsified and perverted. I mean, that's what the rabbis do.
They're not only bamboozling the non-Jews, they're bamboozling their own people.
That's right.
To control them. They are propagandizing their own. The rabbis know. And they're propagandizing the common street Jew, so they will be under their control. It is
That's
a control matter.
Exactly.
It always has been the ruling class.
Yeah.
Over the others, and the ruling class of Jewry throws the others under the bus as cannon fodder.
Yes.
To further their agenda. They will stage
a
slaughter
of Pastor
Jews
Steve,
for their own means.
For people who might be tuning in for the first time, or second or third time, and are not totally familiar with Christian identity and what we believe, how would you characterize the rabbinical distortion of the Old Testament? You know, we know that the rabbis hate the New Testament. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate Christianity. What does a rabbi do
with
you?
As an Old Testament scholar, they have taken through their monetary power and published volumes that have been twisted. They have removed words and added words at the behest of the rabbis who have infiltrated the Christian schools of ministry.
Right, seminaries.
And they have taught the white people their lies and have convinced them that they are telling them the truth, because of the twisted versions of the Bible that they have had written and published.
Yes.
And a lot of these people coming out of the seminary schools are true believers in what they have been taught. Even though they have been taught error, they will fight tooth and nail for that error through loyalty to their school.
Yeah, and
misplaced entirely.
Yeah.
But they will not accept the truth because it goes against the dogma that they have been impressed on their minds. They've been brainwashed.
Yeah, so these people actually do not realize they're being brainwashed by rabbis when they embrace the doctrines of Judeo-Christianity.
Well, not only that, they hate us.
Yes.
And the scripture says they will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service.
Right.
And they would cheerfully slaughter us if they could get away with it in the name of Jesus.
Right. The Jewish Jesus.
Jewish Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And you talk about, and some of them, although some of them that I've worked on, have come around. I talked to that one Baptist preacher and did a presentation in their church, and they're using the name of Yahweh and Yeshua now.
Amen. Amen.
And I taught them a whole bunch of stuff, and the deacons were all gathering around, and I was talking to this pastor that has a doctorate, and I was talking to stuff, and the deacon said, no, you can't teach that stuff in here. That's absolutely wrong. And the pastor spoke up and he says, actually, John, he's absolutely correct.
That's right.
And old John just said, oh.
Right.
And boy, did the question, every time I went to that church, They get me in a room and ask me a million questions. Yeah. And I gave them chapter and verse and reference. And right. Some of them just had to sit down. They were ashen-faced.
Yes.
It hit them like a ton of bricks.
Right. If only we could have that effect with everybody that listens, right? But see, when you're back up.
We're getting more and more numbers. Look at the downloads
that's right.
We get.
Yeah,
we're hitting them. Nobody can come to the Father unless the Father draws them.
Yes.
We're planting seeds, and we're doing our job that Yahweh has called us to do, and let the Holy Spirit take it from there.
Right.
Because how it works.
Part of the message we delivered in Kentucky earlier this week was demonstrating that the modern Jews today are derived from Esau, Edom, and are not Israelites by any means, okay? And here in this document, and of course, we are reading from Charles Wiseman's Who is Esau Edom? And in the very next section, he talks about a conflict of genetic traits.
DNA.
It's all about DNA, folks. And unless you understand who Esau Edom is in the world today and who Israel is in the world today, and don't believe the lies of the Jews, they're not Israel. They are, in fact, Esau Edom. And Charles Wiseman has this totally figured out.
Well, it said in Scripture that the two children struggled within the womb, and
right.
when they came out, they were separated as with enmity. And Yahweh told the lady that there would be two nations and two peoples that would be in conflict, and the elder would serve the younger.
Yes.
And they did. They were under our thumb until Napoleon let them out.
That's right.
And the House of Rothschild was formed. And now we're paying a price for it. We were told to destroy these people. When we went into the Promised Land, we were to kill them all. We did not complete our commission. We were warned of the consequences of that, and we are paying the price today.
Yes.
Let's continue on.
Yes.
This contrasting and conflicting ways and thinking between Jews and the white European is not artificial or a result of their environment, but is based on the nature of their physical constitutions. Thus, the conflict between them is not reconcilable any more than it was between Esau and Jacob.
Okay, now wait a minute. This means, if Wiseman is correct, this means that a Jew cannot be saved.
That's absolutely correct. They cannot.
All right.
They have no soul.
Very good.
When you mix the seed of Adam with any other seed line, the seed of Adam is wiped out. The capacity to contain the Holy Spirit does not exist any longer. They are broken sisters.
Not in a half-breed, yes. Very good. Okay, not in a mamzer. Yes.
No,
okay.
Sir.
Please continue.
The Jew, Maurice Samuel, in speaking to those of the white race, explained it well. There are, this is underlined, two life forces in the world I know. Jewish and Gentile, which is a misnomer.
Right.
Jewish and Israelite would be more accurate. Ours and yours. I do not believe that this primal difference, also underlined, between Gentile and Jew, between Israelite and Jew, is reconcilable.
And we totally agree with that. It's not reconcilable.
That is correct.
Yes.
You and we may come to an understanding, this is also underlined, never to a reconciliation. There will be irritation between us as long as we are in intimate contact. For, underlined, nature and constitution and vision divide us from all of you, underlined, forever.
Now, is he not reiterating the enmity that Yahweh declared in Genesis 3:15? Even though he's not aware of it, he understands.
Well,
that
he might very well be aware of it.
Yeah, okay.
But he's not going to reveal it.
No. All right.
They only give you a little bit of truth, and then they put a lie in there to
but
pervert
what a
it.
Total confirmation of Genesis 3:15, right here. Maurice Samuel could not have said it any better.
Well, I mean, do they or do they not often tell on themselves?
That's right. That's right.
They brag on it, and they think that nothing's going to happen because of that. But they leave a paper trail of evidence against them with their publications and their public statements and their movies. All of it.
Yes. All right, please continue.
They leave a trail of breadcrumbs to the witch's house.
Right.
The conflicting differences that exist between Jews and those of the white race are primarily a result of their genetic differences or their nature and constitution. Jews act and think differently from white Christian people because there is a difference in their brains. According to Dr. Richard Goodman, in a study he made for Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, there are 112 hereditary diseases within the Jewish race. And let's stop right here. They're not exactly a race.
Right.
They are an amalgamation of different races wherein lies the cause.
A breed. They're a breed, not a race.
Race mixing
breed.
Causes.
Breed.
It's the root source of all these diseases. Continuing
Amen.
On. Which originate from causes found within the Jewish brain and central nervous system. Some of these diseases include Bloom syndrome, familial dysautonomia, Gaucher's disease, and Tay-Sachs disease. These mental and neurological abnormalities have a direct relation on Jewish behavioral patterns, which other peoples would find to be obnoxious and alien.
Indeed.
These mental diseases no doubt account for some of the common Jewish traits, such as being abrasive, rude, stingy, sexually perverted, aggressive, schizophrenic, and hostile. Such mental and neurological disorders among Jews has been known to the science world. Dr. Joseph A. Jacobs, a Jew, and the Journal of Anthropological Institute of Great Britain, published in 1886, volume 15, page 360, has lists comparing high percentage of Jews having mental diseases. In the Jewish Encyclopedia, it states, and I quote, "The Jews are more subject to diseases of the nervous system than the other races and peoples among which they dwell. Hysteria and neurasthenia.
You're right, there you go.
I got my tongue in front of my eye teeth. You can't see what I'm saying. Appear to be most.
It's a tongue twister.
Some physicians of large experience among the Jews have even gone so far as to state that most of them are neurasthenic and hysterical.
Yes.
Let me take a quote. And that is the Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 9.
This is not anti-Semitic propaganda, folks. This is coming right from the Jewish Encyclopedia.
This is their book.
That's
we're
right.
We're quoting them.
That's
like
right.
Like I said, they tell on each other.
Right? Well, in their own works that most non-Jews don't read. That's why we're doing this show, because people need to know that they tell on themselves, as you so eloquently have said. Please continue.
Dr. Alexander Pilez, world-famous psychiatrist, there's a warning flag
right there.
from Vienna, states in his outstanding work, Weine Klinische Rundschau, page 888, cases where acute psychosis lend to idiocy and lunacy are of particular frequency with the Jews.
No, that's not
and
possible.
And we have seen a prime example of that in this last election campaign.
Yeah, Hillary.
From the Democratic candidate.
That's right.
If you look at her bloodline and her family tree, she is a Jewess.
She admitted to speaking Yiddish in her household growing up.
By contrast, there are no hereditary diseases which exist exclusively within the white race, and the Negro race has only one, sickle cell anemia. As a highly mixed and mongrelized people, the Jews would be more prone to diseases than pure races. The same is true with hybridized plants and animals. This would include diseases of the mind. And I quote, idiocy and imbecility are found comparatively more often among Jews than among non-Jews. The Mongolian type of idiocy is also very frequently observed among Jews. Among the Jews, the proportion of insane has been observed to be very large. Jews are more liable to the acute psychosis of early age than are Gentiles.
And what's the source of that quote?
Okay, that's
some neo-Nazi or Hitler?
Jewish Encyclopedia, volume 6. In 1904, page 556 and pages 603 and 04.
Oh, not Goebbels, not Hitler, but the Jewish Encyclopedia just says that? Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Please
continuing
continue.
On. The Jewish Encyclopedia also states the causes of these mental disorders in Jews is due to, I quote, the neurotic taint of the race.
Right, the breed.
End right. quote. Another yeah. quote, a racial characteristic, end quote. And, I quote, consanguineous marriages.
Ooh.
End quote.
Oh, that which means?
Inbreeding.
Inbreeding, exactly.
We're close kin.
Yeah, too close. Like mom and son. I mean, the Jews do that too.
These laws here. I divorced my wife, and by golly, she's still my sister.
Yeah, mom and son.
I can't get rid of her.
Father and daughter. Yeah, that's called incest, folks. Consanguineous marriages means incest. And the Jews do that a lot. That's why that's why they have such a great amount of insanity and psychoses within their group. Please continue.
This high...
We're having too much fun with this.
Well, we deserve it. We work hard.
Yeah, right.
This high proportion of insanity, idiocy, imbecility, and lunacy in Jews helps to explain why the Talmud is a collection of imbecilic ramblings of insane minds.
There you go.
Wait a minute.
No, this is theological expertise of the rabbis, right?
Yeah. The sages, yes.
Yeah, so-called sages, right? They've been smoking too much sage, I think.
I was just going to say that. You beat me to it.
I'm sorry.
Or whatever. That looks like sage to me. That's pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Jews and white people are genetically not of the same mind.
Amen.
The Jews and white race are clearly two different characters in God's script, acting out the different roles of Esau and Jacob. They are two manner of people, spiritually, morally, mentally, and biologically, causing natural conflicts between them which are not reconcilable.
Just as the Bible says.
Bible's never wrong.
That's
the Bible
right.
is scientific.
Amen. All right, next section, Esau's hatred of Jacob, which most people, especially white people, need to understand. Number one, that the Jews are descendants of Esau, Edom, and the white race, the primarily descended from Israelites, that is from Jacob. And this hatred between Esau and Jacob was predicted when Yahweh told Rebekah that two manner of people, two different manner of people, will be separated from thy bowels. It's Esau and Jacob. You must understand who Esau is in the modern world and who Jacob is in the modern world. If you do not understand this, you do not understand the Bible, and you do not understand history. Please continue.
The conflicting and antagonistic relationship between Esau and Jacob was magnified and intensified when Esau, and I quote, sold his birthright to Jacob, end quote, for a mere bowl of pottage, Genesis 25, verse 33. Jacob then had the legal right to receive the blessings of the inheritance which he received
yes.
from Isaac by pretending he was Esau.
Yes.
When Esau realized what had happened and that Jacob now possessed the blessings that could have been his, I quote, Esau hated, underlined, Jacob because of the blessing, end quote.
Yes, and that's
this
Genesis.
Hatred was now to be an attribute and earmark of the character Esau Edom. Throughout the rest of the script, this attribute does not change or subside.
It never changes until the judgment day. However,
my insertion, it still goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It continues.
But Wiseman has left out a very important verse, namely that Esau despised his birthright.
And the word despised in that verse means held in contempt.
That's right. So, and because Esau held his birthright in contempt, he did not deserve the blessing. And Wiseman, as so many other Bible commentators, they miss that. They miss that verse that says that Esau despised his birthright. That's a very important verse not to be overlooked. Please continue.
All right. It is clearly revealed by Scripture that Esau Edom would be a perpetual adversary of Jacob Israel, as it is written, I quote, the children of Esau hated the sons of Jacob, and the hatred and enmity were very strong between them all the days unto this day, end quote. And that comes from the book of Jasher, chapter 58, verse 28. Thus, the descendants of Esau would hate and despise the entire race descended from Jacob. That would be the white race today.
That's right.
Esau's hatred of Jacob was exhibited when, I quote, Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, end quote. And that is Numbers chapter 20, verse 21. During the 8th century B.C., the prophet Amos distinctly rebukes Edom for her cruelty and anger toward Israel. I quote, "Thus says Yahweh," and it has the Lord with capitals, but it's Yahweh. "Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity," pardon me, "and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever."
Even until today.
That's correct. Some 200 years later, the prophet Ezekiel also offers condemnation against Edom or Mount Seir. That's the Edomites.
Where they live. Yes, that's their headquarters.
Because of their perpetual hatred for the children of Israel. And I quote, "Because thou," in brackets, Mount Seir, "has had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end." Okay, and that's Ezekiel 35:5. Mount Seir, representing the nation or race of Esau, Edom, or the Edomites, has a perpetual hatred for the children of Israel down through history.
Amen.
And still do. All throughout the Bible, the Edomites had shown their hatred in opposition of Yahweh's chosen people, Israel. This was a characteristic of these people, which they would not lose. They have not lost it today, have they, Eli?
They have not. Okay, so let's just go into page 60. We only have about 15 minutes left. He cites some verses of the Talmud here, which we really need to relate to the listeners, because they need to know what the Talmud actually teaches, especially concerning us, true Israelites, Christian Israel, in the world today. He has a bullet list here.
You want me to read this because all the Hebrew in it?
Which is that? You mean the? I'm thinking, looking at page 60, where he has
the list.
Yeah, please.
Okay, it is allowed to cheat a Gentile and take usury of him, and that is Baba Maziah 61a, Abhodah Zarah 54a. Second, the Goyim Christians. Now, this is their terminology. It is not accurate, but it's their terminology.
Yes.
The Goyim are regarded as unclean. Shabbat 145b, Abhodah Zarah 22b. It is not allowed to rob a brother Jew, but to rob a Gentile is allowed. And that is from Baba Maziah 61a, Sanhedrin 57a. Next, the Goyim are not like men, but are as animals.
We're animals. They're human.
Kerituth 6b. The seed of a Goy is worth the same as that of a beast. Ketubot 3b, Baba Messiah 114:6. A Jew must not enter the home of a Christian. Gittin 62a.
I guess
the Goyim are not
unclean.
To be cured or help one sick,
Whoa.
Even for money. Abhodah Zarah 27b, Iore Dea 158:1. So don't go to a Jew doctor.
That's right. That's right. Or dentist.
It is permitted to deceive a Goy. Baba Kama 113b. Jews must try to deceive Christians. Zohar 1, 160a. A Jew may lie and perjure himself to condemn a Christian. Bam HaKama 113a through 113b. A Jew shall not do injury to other Jews, but the law does not prohibit injury to a goy. Mishnah Sanhedrin 57. Those who do good to the Christian will not rise from the dead. Zohar 1:25b.
Well, Jews are not going to rise from the dead anyway. Right?
All false the hope. Festivals of the followers of Jesus are forbidden, and we must conduct ourselves toward them as we would toward idolaters. Abodah Zarah 2a and 78c.
Well, it's very interesting, though, because Christmas has become a very Jewish holiday, right?
Well, it never was a Christian holiday anyway. It's pagan. Right. It's Yule.
Yes.
And by the way, on December 1st, on The Divine Truth, Pastor Paul Mullett and I will be doing a show about Christmas.
Very good.
Do not save a goy in danger of death.
Wow.
Hilkoth Akum.
Let him die.
20.
Let him die. That's how Jews think of Christians, folks.
When a Jew and a goy come to court, you must absolve the Jew and take his side as far as possible according to Jewish law. If, however, the Jew can be absolved according to Gentile law, absolve him. Baba, comma, 113a.
Okay,
so don't get a Jewish lawyer and don't go in front of a Jewish judge.
Yeah, if you have a Jewish judge and your litigant on the other side is a Jew, you're going to lose because the Jewish judge will always rule in favor of the Jew and against you.
A Jew may keep anything he finds belonging to the Akum, and that's Christian. To return it is a sin. Koshekim Ham 266-1.
Okay, go ahead and jump over. Yeah, go ahead and jump
Talmud,
over.
The Talmud clearly represents an underlying Jewish object of hatred toward Christians. It teaches Jews to be against the Goyim, quote unquote, in every aspect of life, while working to destroy the Christians' religion and undermining their culture and society.
Yeah, while pretending to be our friends.
This hatred of Christian, as taught by the ancient rabbis, has continued to succeeding generations and is prevalent in the words and feelings of Jews to this day. You want me to read the Elie Wiesel part?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is very good.
And it's not good to say anything against the dead. And Elie Wiesel is dead. And that's good.
Yes.
Elie Wiesel, the Nobel Prize-winning Jewish author and world-famous Holocaust survivor, quote-unquote, promotes hatred of white people by Jews. In one of his books, he stated, I quote, "Every Jew, somewhere in his being, should set apart a zone of hate, healthy, virile hate, for what the German personifies and what persists in the German. To do otherwise will be a betrayal of the dead." It is indeed interesting that the same enduring hate Edom had for Jacob, the Jews have toward Christians.
Right.
It is also ironic that Jews who have all this hate in them for Christians have gone to great lengths to convince the world that they are completely innocent of such an attribute, and it is the Christian who hates the Jew.
And let me just, the quote from Elie Wiesel was from his book, The Legends of Our Time. Holt, 1968, page 142. That's the reference.
And he was a little weasel.
Oh, that's right. All right, Edom's hatred of Jesus Christ. No, wait a minute. Jesus was a Jew, wasn't he? Why would the Jews hate another Jew?
Well, that's what the Judeo-Christian churches want you to believe.
Right.
They are the shill for yes. The Talmudic Jew.
The shill churches.
They teach their Talmudism in their churches. And they're either operating out of complete ignorance, or they are Jewish themselves.
That's right. Okay.
They are rampant within Judeo-Christianity. They've got it infiltrated thoroughly. It's like Ku Klux Klan and the FBI.
Yeah.
Go to Klan rally, and there are 5 Klansmen and 10 FBI agents.
right. Christians need to understand what Jews really believe about Jesus Christ, Yahshua Messiah. Please continue.
The prophecies of Christ's birth were well known to the people at that time. He was to be the king over all the earth. Now, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, and Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. The Messiah, Daniel 9:25,
and only of Israel.
The Redeemer of Israel, Isaiah 59:20 and 62:11, and would be of the house of David, Jeremiah 23:5. The script also reveals that Christ had enemies from the moment of his birth. And I quote, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where that he is he that is born king of the Judeans, the Judahites?
Yes.
For we have not Jews, for we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Matthew 2, 1 through 3. Not all Jerusalem.
Right.
That is a metaphorical usage. All of his cronies in Jerusalem.
Right.
The actual Israelites in Jerusalem were marvelous. They were marveled, rather.
Right.
They were just waiting.
They're waiting for a Messiah. But Herod being an Edomite, not a Judahite, correct? Herod was an Edomite, not a Judahite. That's why he was troubled, because his false rule over Judah would be exposed should Jesus become king.
Why was this Herod troubled, quote-unquote, about the birth and arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ? First, we find that Herod was not of the same racial lineage as Christ. I quote, "Antipater, an Idumean by birth,"
the Edomite,
was made by Caesar procurator of all Judea, that's the land of Judea, and his son, commonly called Herod the Great, was, at the time of Christ's birth, it is king of Judea. Well, he was not king of Judea. That is an error. He was governor over the land of Judea,
including
Idumea.
Yeah, he was appointee of the Romans. He was not a descendant of any Judahite king or any Judahite person.
That's just one little slip that I found. It's not an overwhelming error. Herod, like his father Antipater, was an Idumean or Edomite by birth. Josephus, in his Antiquity of the Jews, also esteems Herod as an Idumean. Herod had talked in secret to the wise men, telling them to diligently search for the young child, and when they found him, to come back and tell him so he may come and worship him also, quote unquote. Book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. This was actually a ruse so that Herod could kill the Christ child. When the wise men found Christ, they were warned of Yahweh in a dream not to return to Herod. That's Matthew 2, verse 12. Thus, they did not return to Herod with the information on Christ's location, which made Herod the Edomite furious. And I quote, "Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." That's Matthew 2, 16. Herod the Edomite had such a hatred for Christ and what he represented that he had ordered a mass execution to make sure Jesus would be killed. Had not the angel of the Lord instructed Joseph to flee to Egypt with Jesus, Herod would have surely succeeded in killing him. And we're almost out of time.
Yes. Yeah, please continue. We maybe go straight to the quotation by Bernard Lazare.
Okay. This is a quotation by the Jew Bernard Lazare. "The Jew is not content merely to destroy Christianity, but he preaches the gospel of Judaism. He not only assails the Catholic or Protestant faith, but he incites to unbelief and then imposes on those whose faith he has undermined his own conception of the world, of morality or lack thereof,
evolution,
and of life. He is engaged in a historic mission, the annihilation of the religion of Christ."
Okay, so we've had many admissions by Jewish authors that the sole purpose of Judaism is to destroy Christianity, the people who believe in Christianity, namely the white race, and everything associated with Christ, Christianity, and the white race. This is what drives the average Jew. This is what drives the rabbi. And this is certainly what drives the Jew banksters, such as the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Goldman Sachs, etc. This is real demonic hatred by the Jews against our race, folks. That's what it is. Okay.
That's a continuing thing. We had a near miss this time, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know what Trump is going to do because he's heavily involved with them too.
That's right, he is.
Don't expect a birthday party out of this. Hold off your judgment till you see what this guy's made of.
Yes, yes.
Talk is cheap, and action requires intestinal fortitude and honesty.
All right, Pastor Steve, we're going to have to end it right here. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Next Friday, we'll continue this excellent book by Charles Wiseman, Who is Esau Edom? Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition.
Happy Turkey Day. Shalom aleichem.
Shalom aleichem. Bye-bye.